Today I'll be preaching from Hebrews chapter 5. I'll read verses 11 through 14. Just as a reminder, the author has been describing Jesus Christ as a high priest, and he has said that Jesus is a priest like Melchizedek was a priest. And then he says these words, beginning in verse 11. Of whom, or of Melchizedek, we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. When a little baby sucks its thumb, there's something kind of cute about that. But if that continues for several years, it's not so cute anymore. In fact, we might say to an older child, you need to grow up. You need to stop sucking your thumb. That's what a baby does. That's being childish. And you need to grow up and be an adult. The author of Hebrews says something very similar in this passage. He speaks to the Jews about being childish. In fact, he warns them about the dangers of spiritual immaturity. He says that they are behaving like babies. And so today I want you to hear this message, and hear this passage as describes spiritual immaturity that leaves you vulnerable to being led astray. And because of that, the urging of this passage and my urging to you today is to grow up in Christ. By being trained in the Word of God. To grow up in Christ by being trained in the Word of God. Let's start by thinking about the problem of childishness. So as I described, the author of Hebrews has just been introducing this really wonderful new section of his letter. He's focusing all throughout this letter on the person and work of Jesus Christ. He's talked about how he is greater than the angels, how he's greater than Moses. And now he comes to the subject of saying that Jesus is a great and glorious high priest. He's like all of those high priests of the Old Testament. In fact, he's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And as soon as he says that name of Melchizedek, the author pauses. And he says, of Melchizedek, I have a lot more that I want to say to you. But I can't yet do that. Because you have become dull of hearing. I need to pause here and to explain to you who this Melchizedek is. And that should not be the case. It's as if he were present with those that he was writing to. It's as if he were preaching. And there's sometimes when this happens to me where I say something and there's kind of a blank look in everybody's eyes. Maybe you've had similar experiences where you're trying to communicate something and they just kind of like, what? And I know at that point that I need to pause and I need to explain what it was that I was just saying. That's exactly what the author does here. He pauses as if his audience says, Melchizedek? Who's that? So the author interrupts what he was saying in order to address this problem of their dullness of hearing. He will come back to Melchizedek later, but the interruption goes to show something. It shows how pressing this problem was among the Jews, that they did not understand the entirety of the Old Testament as pointing to Jesus. And so when he has to stop and explain that, it shows how important this was, and it shows how they had become babies in their understanding and use of God's Word. Now, before I go on to describe the characteristics of childishness, let me pause a moment and point out that this is a problem even today. We worship a great and holy God. I'm so thankful for Dr. Murray's message last week from Isaiah 40. It was one that displayed how great our God is. He holds the seas in the palm of His hand. He does count and number the stars in the universe. He names them, and He knows all of these things. But our God has bridged the gap between the greatness of the Creator and the lowliness of the creature. He's bridged that gap by revealing Himself to us. He has made Himself known to us. And you can know some things about God by studying creation. But to know Him personally, you need to know Jesus. And to know Jesus, you need to know His Word. It's in the Bible that God has revealed Himself to us. But sadly, many Christians today treat God's Word as unimportant. They approach a relationship with God as something dynamic and personal, which it is. We need to know God by His Spirit dwelling in us. But they approach that relationship as something completely severed from His Word, as if it were better to know Him, quote-unquote, directly. And there is a directness, and I'm not denying that, but what I'm addressing is this division and this lack of understanding and lack of desire to know God by His Word. Think about it as if you were to get a letter from your spouse when he is far away from home. I know there's at least one person that's going through that now, and maybe some of you have been separated for several weeks or several months. And imagine that you're separated for this long time and you finally get a letter in the mail. And you get that letter and you tear it open and you read it and you read it again and you read it again. Maybe you post it on your refrigerator so that you can see those words and be reminded of your spouse. There's this longing for that contact, longing for that relationship, and it's communicated through the words that were written to you. You wouldn't get that letter in the mail and go, oh, I'll get to that later, I'm kind of busy today. You would never do that, would you? Instead, you would take that letter and you would devour it, maybe even memorize it and pay attention. Well, sadly, again, I would say that many people treat God's Word with lack of attention or lack of interest. There's a recent survey that has described how far this attitude has gone. There are many Christians today who have trouble identifying who Abraham was, let alone Melchizedek. They may know that there are 10 commandments, but according to this survey, there are a few that can name all of them, but the vast majority can barely name 5. They know all of the 7 dwarves, and can name every single member of the Fellowship of the Ring, but they struggle to name the first four books of the Gospel of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that record the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when it comes to basic matters of faith, like the Trinity, the divinity of Jesus, justification, sanctification, glorification, the level of ignorance is distressing. And so God has seen fit to address this problem of spiritual immaturity, this problem of childishness, through this passage in Hebrews. Let's look then at how these verses describe the characteristics of childishness. And there are three different characteristics that I'm going to summarize for you. The first characteristic is that of the lack of growth. Verse 11 says that they have become dull of hearing. And verse 12 says that they need to be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God. And that phrase is talking about the most basic elements of the Bible, the most basic teachings of biblical understanding. Now remember that this is a letter that's written to the Jews. They had God's Word. In fact, they took a great deal of pride that they, of all of the peoples of the ancient world, had God's Word given to them. There was even a sense of looking down on the other nations because they didn't have God's Word. They might say, "We have the law and Moses. We have the prophets. We have God's Word, His oracles given to us." Today, we might say that they claim that they're not newbies, as it refers to their understanding or their having God's Word. You know that term, newbie? It's used when someone is first starting off in some type of new skill or new study. For instance, if you wanted to learn to be a gymnast, you would start off with some of the most basic understandings of how to perform as a gymnast. You start by training in strength and balance. You start with basic moves like a cartwheel or a handstand or a somersault. And at first, even those, as a newbie, might be kind of clumsy. But if you keep practicing, you get better. You won't be a newbie forever. You'll soon be doing flips and vaults and all sorts of other skills. But what might you say to a gymnast who's been a gymnast for maybe 10 years who still can't even do a somersault? I just heard Annie say, "Oh, I can do a somersault." Well, you would say of that person, "You're such a newbie." But you shouldn't be. Haven't you been studying for 10 years? The coach might say to you, "Dude, you need to practice. What's going on with you? You need to be better than this." That's a sense in what the author of Hebrews says to his Jewish listeners. "I'm telling you about Jesus as a high priest, but it's hard to explain because you have become dull in your hearing. Instead of growing in your understanding and in your maturity in the things of God, there's some sort of regression that is happening. I need to teach you about the basic things about Scripture, the most basic ideas about the Christian faith. this shouldn't be. You need to grow up in Jesus Christ instead of remaining childish in your understanding of God's Word. As a child of God, you too need to take what God has given to you. You need to receive His Word with a sense of longing and anticipation of meeting with Him. You needed to make it a lifelong project to know God by being trained in His Word, by reading it, by thinking about it, by receiving it as what it really is, God's communication to you. Grow in your understanding. Mature in how you approach that and how you apply that in your lives, rather than not growing at all and remaining a baby in regards to the Word of God. The second characteristic of childishness is self-centeredness. Nothing in the world is quite so helpless as a baby. Ask any new parent and they'll tell you that the first couple of weeks are a little bit of a blur. That's because you're so busy taking care of the baby 24 hours a day, taking care of everything. Feeding and changing and clothing and cleaning and burping and all of those things that just go on and on. Now, there's a natural nature to that. A baby needs those things because a baby is helpless. But a baby does grow. And soon, after those first couple of weeks, that baby comes to realize that the whole world revolves around me. And there is, again, something a little cute about that as a baby learns that, wow, I can kind of get whatever I want by just squawking a little bit. And if that's not good enough, I'll pitch a fit. And here comes my mom, here comes my dad, here comes my grandmother, and they will make sure that all of my needs are taken care of. Well, it is true a baby can't feed himself and change his clothes, and that there is something a little cute about that in the first 6 months, but 6 years old, 10 years old, 20 years old, and you're still squawking and pitching a fit because your mom hasn't given you the food that you like, or hasn't bought you the clothes that you want, or that you're having trouble with school. The whole world revolves around me and you're not meeting my demands. Look at verse 12. You can hear something of a similar type of rebuke. By this time, you ought to be teachers. By this time, you ought to be able to feed yourself and clothe yourself. And not only handle the Word of God in a way that is a mature, grown-up type of way, but God has also intended that you not be self-serving, but that you also have something to offer others. You ought to be teachers at this point. For the Jews, he might go on and say, you do have the Word of God. In fact, God set you at the crossroads of the ancient world. The nations of the earth would go back and forth through Israel, and the Lord deliberately placed them there so that they would be a light to the nations. God gave them His Word, His oracles, the worship of God, so that that light would go out to the ends of the earth. They ought to have been teachers. But what were they? Here's that regression again. Instead of being teachers, you need to be taught the most basic principles of the faith. Well, what about today? In our culture, the word selfie is a word. In the Christian church, the word selfless ought to be much more known than the word selfie, especially in handling the Word of God. God has given you the Word so that you can eat and grow and be nurtured yourself. But there's more to it than that. Like a baby learns, so you learn to read the Bible. You learned to read it in a way that God is interacting with you in His relationship, in a way that you take that word and you think about it and apply it to yourself. But then as a child of God, you'll find that the Lord has set you in specific places. He has put you in relationships with others where that word of God takes on a character where you have opportunity to teach others. That may take a lot of different forms. It may be that with your lady friends that you share about what you have been reading in your own devotions this week, or you describe something that you've listened to on a computer, on a podcast, and how instrumental that was in your life. It may happen when a friend comes to you and they've read something in the Bible that they can't quite understand. So you sit down with them and you dig into that together so that you can understand it and apply it. It may happen as you witness in the world, as you share in evangelistic ways that there is a Redeemer. Or it may happen as your children come home and they ask hard questions about life. God has given you His Word, and He has given that as a way for you to be a blessing to others. But a childish person is only self-centered, asking, what's in this for me? Grow up. Grow up in Christ by being trained in the Word of God so that you would be a blessing to others. The third problem of spiritual childishness is a lack of discernment. Verses 13 and 14 especially describe this. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of their use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. A baby starts off without teeth, and so starts off with milk from his mother. Phoebe drinks milk, and she loves it, right? Soon, though, and maybe already, she'll start to eat some solid foods. Maybe she'll start to eat things like cereal and bananas and crackers. Now, Jack is just a little bit older, right? Jack has several teeth in his mouth. And it's fun to watch how he loves to grab some cheese and bite it and chew it. And he'll grab Cheerios and apples and he'll use his teeth to eat that solid food. Now imagine if we got into a time machine and we traveled 10 years into the future. And we find Phoebe and Jack still nursing. What would you say if that's what you found? These 10-year-olds. Well, that's kind of weird. Their moms are cringing. I think all the moms are kind of cringing. that's as it should be, isn't it? God has designed our bodies to grow and to want and to need solid food and to, in a sense, graduate from what was good for a baby and to graduate into solid food. And the analogy is just beautiful, isn't it? There are wonderful things that we as young baby Christians need. We long for the pure milk of the Word. There are things that are basic in the Christian faith that we need to be trained in, that we need to grow in, and we hunger and we thirst for that as babies. And just like Phoebe, we drink that up and we are fed and we're happy with that. But if we stay in that condition, then there's something wrong. The author points out, you claim to know the Bible. You even claim to be a follower of Christ. But you seem to have no idea what the Bible is about. You're unskilled in the word of righteousness. You're unable to discern what is good and evil. And now, you're in serious danger of wandering from your faith. You're in serious danger of even denying the promised Messiah. Remember that survey that I referred to earlier? There's a general decline in the knowledge about the Bible. You can also trace in that survey that there's not only a decline in knowledge, but there's also a decline in discernment between good and evil. So in that survey, it describes the change that's happened, even in my own lifetime, as to approaches to what is right and what is wrong. The survey reveals that there is a mixed opinion about whether or not it's okay to lie. They even will go on to say that it's okay to be greedy. It's okay to sleep together outside of marriage or to have an adulterous affair. It's okay to be in a homosexual relationship. It's okay to abort a child, and on and on. A lack of knowledge of the Word of God leads directly to a lack of discernment between what is good and evil. And every day you face questions about right and wrong. Every day you're called to discern between what is good and evil. And it does take practice. These verses talk about how by use you are trained in the discernment between good and evil. And so just like a baby gradually practices and learns to crawl and to walk and to run and to do gymnastics, those things take training. They take time to grow in that. It takes diligence as well for you to learn to handle the Word of God in a way that leads you to discern between good and evil. The positive thing is that God promises that you will grow and that He won't leave you helpless. He's even promised His Holy Spirit to teach you and to guide you, to help you understand. So let me close then by reminding you of the danger of spiritual childishness. You might say, does it really matter? So long as I believe in Jesus, does it matter whether or not I become mature in the faith? Commentator Phillips describes this danger by observing the tendency in American Christianity to keep things on the most basic level of Christianity. He says that he's heard these words, that if you care about theology, then you must be spiritually cold and unloving. He's heard people say that theology bores today's Christian, that doctrine divides. He cites another author who says that the scandal of the evangelical mind is that there's not much of an evangelical mind. But such an attitude about Jesus and about His Word leaves you in a dangerous position. Without maturity, He's already said that you have a lack of discernment between good and evil. And you can be led astray by every wind that blows and every wind of doctrine that comes in that leads you to change your decisions or change your positions on morality, on salvation, on how it is that our sins are forgiven. So that survey goes on to describe not just changes in understanding and behavior, but it even shows changes in convictions about salvation. Is Jesus the only way of salvation? Survey says 65% are saying, I just made that number up, I'll verify that number. A high percentage say there are other ways to God than Jesus Christ. And it just leaves you scratching your head. The most basic principles of the Christian faith are being lost because of approaching God's Word in a childish and immature way. As a healthy child of God, I urge you to grow up in Christ. Do not remain in a perpetual state of childishness. Instead, follow the natural longing of a child that's growing in Christ. Hunger for Him, long for His Word. And so, grow up in Christ. Do not remain in a lifelong self-centered mode, only thinking about yourself and your own needs. Instead, as you grow strong in your relationship with Christ, expect to be a blessing to others. Prepare yourself to be a blessing to others by learning and studying God's Word. Do not stay stranded in a state of being unable to discern between good and evil. Instead, arm yourself for the questions and the temptations and the assaults that come in the Christian life by knowing Jesus and knowing His Word. Grow up in Christ. Mature in Him by being trained in His Word. Let's pray. Lord God, we do pray that You would train us in what You have given us. We're so thankful that You have given us Your Word so that we may know You and come to salvation, that we may discern good and evil. Help us, O God, to do so. Help us to grow day by day stronger in Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 92 talks about growing in Christ. Like Psalm 1, Psalm 92 uses the imagery of a tree that is fruitful. And in Psalm 92, it describes those who are physically old in age, but who still bear fruit and who flourish fresh and green. And that's our prayer, that we would not only mature in days and in age, but that we would flourish fresh and green all the days of our life. Let's stand and sing Psalm 92.